present Look Back in Anger by John Osborne.
Why do I do this every Sunday? Even the book review seemed to be the same as last week. Different books, same reviews. You finished that one yet?
Oh, yeah.
I've just read three whole columns on the English novel. Half of it's in French. The Sunday papers make you feel ignorant.
No, half.
Well, you are ignorant, Cliff. You're just a peasant. What about you, darling? You're not a peasant, are you?
What's that?
I said, do the papers make you feel not so brilliant after all?
Oh, I haven't read them yet.
I didn't ask you that. I said,
leave the poor girl alone. She's busy.
Well, she can talk, can't she? You can talk, can't you? You can express an opinion. Or does the white woman's burden make it impossible to think?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening properly.
Yeah, you bet you weren't listening. Old Porter talks and everyone turns over and goes to sleep. And Mrs. Porter gets them all going with the first yawn.
Leave her alone, I say.
All right, Alison dear, go back to sleep. It's only me talking. You know, talking. Remember, I'm sorry.
Stop yelling, I'm trying to read.
Why'd you bother? You can't understand a word of it.
Uh-huh.
You're too ignorant.
Yeah, and uneducated. Now shut up, will you?
Why don't you get my wife to explain it to you? She's educated. That's right, isn't it?
Leave her alone, I said.
Wait, do that again, you Welsh ruffian. I'll pull your ears off.
Listen, I'm trying to better myself. Let me get on with it, you big, horrible man. Give it to me.
Oh, give it to him, Jimmy. For heaven's sake, I can't think.
Yes, come, give me the paper. She can't think.
Can't think? You haven't had a thought for years, have you?
No.
I'm getting hungry.
Oh, no, not already.
He's a bloody pig.
I'm not a pig, I just like food, that's all.
Like it? You're like a sexual maniac, only with you is food. You'll end up in the News of the World, Warrior, you wait. James Porter, age 25, was bound over last week after pleading guilty to interfering with a small cabbage and two tins of beans on his way home from the Builder's Arms.
Yeah, I'd like to eat. I'd like to live too, do you mind?
Don't see any use in your eating at all, you never get any fatter.
People like me don't get fat, I tried to tell you before. We just burn everything out. Now shut up while I read. Might be some more tea.
Good God, you just had a great pot full. I only had one cup.
Like hell, make some more.
Isn't that right? Didn't I only have one cup?
That's right.
There you are. And she only had one cup too. I saw her. You guzzled the lot.
Put the kettle on.
Put it on yourself. You've creased up my paper.
I'm the only one who knows how to treat a paper or anything else in this house. Girl here wants to know whether her boyfriend will lose all respect for her if she gives him what he asks for. Stupid bitch.
Just let me get at her, that's all.
Who buys this damn thing? Haven't you read the other posh paper yet?
Which?
Well, there are only two posh papers on a Sunday. The one you're reading and this one. Come on, let me have that one. You take this.
Oh, all right. I was only reading the Bishop of Bromley. How are you, darling?
All right, thank you, dear.
She's a beautiful girl, isn't she?
That's what they all tell me. What's the Bishop of Bromley say?
Oh, it says here that he makes a very moving appeal to all Christians to do all they can to assist in the manufacture of the H-bomb.
Yeah, well, that's quite moving, I suppose. Are you moved, my darling?
Well, naturally.
There you are, even my wife is moved. I ought to send the bishop a subscription. Let's see what else he say. Oh, yes. He's upset because someone has suggested that he supports the rich against the poor. He says he denies the difference of class distinction. This idea has been persistently and wickedly fostered by the working classes. Well, did you read that? I suppose your father could have written it, do you?
Written what?
Well, I just read out, of course.
Why should my father have written it?
Well, it sounds rather like Daddy, don't you think?
Does it?
The Bishop of Bromley, his nom de plume, you think?
Don't take any notice of him. He's being offensive, and it's so easy for him.
Did you read about the woman who went to the mass meeting of a certain American evangelist at Earl's Court? She went forward to declare herself for love, whatever it is, and in the rush of converts to get to the front, she broke four ribs and got kicked in the head. She was yelling her head off in agony, but with 50,000 people putting all they got into onward Christian soldiers, nobody even knew she was there. How much longer will you be doing that?
It won't be long.
God, how I hate Sundays. It's so depressing. It's always the same. We never seem to get any further, do we? Always the same ritual, reading the papers, drinking tea, ironing. Few more hours and another week gone. Our youth is slipping away, don't they?
What's that?
Oh, nothing. Damn you. Damn both of you. Damn them all.
Let's go to the pictures. What do you say, lovely?
I don't think I'll be able to. Perhaps Jimmy would like to go. Would you like
to? No one can raise themselves out of their delicious sloth. You two will drive me around the bend soon. I know it, as sure as I'm sitting here. I know, you're going to drive me mad. Oh, heavens, how I long for a little ordinary human enthusiasm. Just enthusiasm, that's all. I want to hear a warm, thrilling voice cry out, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm alive. I have an idea. Why don't we play a little game? Let's pretend that we're human beings and that we're actually alive. Just for a while, I'm just saying. Let's pretend we're human. Oh, brother, it is such a long time since I was with anyone who got enthusiastic about anything.
Done.
Are they the ones you bought last weekend? Look at them. Do you see what he's done to these new trousers?
You are naughty, Cliff. They look dreadful.
Spent good money on a new pair of trousers, and then you sprawl about in them like a savage. What do you think you're going to do when I'm not around to look after you? Huh? What are you going to do? Tell me.
I don't know. What am I going to do, lovely?
You better take them off.
Yeah, go on, take them off and I'll kick you behind for you.
I'll give them a press while I've got the iron on.
Okay. Just into your pockets.
I'll give you those matches, will you?
Oh, you're not going to start up that old pipe again, are you? It stinks the place out. Doesn't it smell awful?
I don't mind it. I've got used to it.
She's a great one for getting used to things. If she were to die and wake up in paradise after the first 5 minutes, she'd have got used to it. Perhaps there's a concert on. Oh. Make some more tea. Oh, yes, it's a Vaughan Williams. Well, that's something anyway. Something strong, something simple, something English. I suppose people like me aren't supposed to be very patriotic. I hate to admit it, but I think I can understand how her daddy must have felt when he came back from India after all those years away. The old Edwardian Brigade, they do make their brief little world look pretty tempting. All homemade cakes and croquet, bright ideas, bright uniforms. Is your friend Webster coming tonight?
He might drop in. You know what he is.
Oh, I hope he doesn't. I don't think I could take Webster tonight.
I thought you said he was the only person who spoke your language.
So he is. Different dialect, but same language. I like him. He's got bite. Edge, drive.
Enthusiasm.
You've got it. When he comes here, I begin to feel exhilarated. He doesn't like me, but he gives me something, which is more than I get from most people. Not since...
Yes, we know. Not since you were living with Madeline.
Who's Madeline?
Oh, wake up, dear. You've heard about Madeline enough times. She was his mistress, remember, when he was 14, or was it 13?
18.
He owes just about everything to Madeline.
I get mixed up with all your women. What, was she the one all those years older than you?
10 years.
Proper little Marchbanks you are.
Turns that concert on.
Oh, I feel so sleepy.
Don't feel like standing behind that blinking sweet stall again tomorrow. Why don't you do it on your own and let me sleep in?
I've got to be at the factory first thing to get some more stock, so you'll have to put up on your own. Another 5 minutes. She had more animation in her little finger than you two put together.
Who did?
Madeline.
Her curiosity about things and about people was staggering. It wasn't just a naive nosiness. With her, it was simply the delight of being awake and watching.
Why didn't you listen to that concert of yours? And don't stand behind me. That blooming droning on behind me gives you a funny feeling down the spine. Ow! That hurt! You rotten sadist! I wish you'd kick his head in for him.
You ever seen a brother? Brother Nigel. The straight-backed, chinless wonder from Sandhurst. I only met him once myself. He asked me to step outside when I told his mother she was evil-minded.
And did you?
Certainly not. He's a big chap. Well, I've never heard so many well-bred commonplaces come from beneath the same bowler hat. The platitude from outer space, that's Brother Nigel. He'll end up in the cabinet one day, make no mistake. But somewhere at the back of that mind is the vague knowledge that he and his pals have been plundering and fooling everybody for generations. Yes, that's a little woman's family. You know Mummy and Daddy, of course. And don't let the Marquess of Queensbury Manor fool you. They'll kick you in the groin while you're handing your hat to the maid. As for Nigel and Alison...
Nigel and Alison...
Know what they sound like?
Sycophantic, phlegmatic, and pusillanimous.
I bet the concert started by now. Shall I put it on?
I looked up that word the other day. It's one of those words I've never been quite sure of, but always thought I knew.
What was that?
Told you. Pusillanimous. Do you know what it means? Hmm. Yeah, neither did I, really.
All this time, I've been married to this woman.
This monument to non-attachment. And suddenly, I discover that there is actually a word that sums her up. Not just an adjective in the English language to describe her with, it's her name. Pusillanimous. Sounds like some fleshy Roman matron, doesn't it? The Lady Pusillanimous, seen here with her husband Sextus on their way to the games.
God, if he doesn't stop, I'll go out of my mind in a minute.
Why don't you? That might be something, anyway. But I haven't told you what it means yet, have I? I don't have to tell her, she knows. In fact, if my pronunciation is at fault, she'll probably wait for a suitably public moment to correct it. Yeah. Here it is. I quote, pusillanimous, adjective, wanting of firmness of mind, of small courage, having a little mind, mean-spirited, cowardly, timid of mind. From the Latin pusillus, very little, and animus, the mind. That's my wife. That's her, isn't it? Behold the lady pusillanimous. Hi, Pusey, when's your next picture? Has that concert started yet?
There you are, dear. They're not very good, but they'll do for now.
Oh, that's lovely.
Now try and look after them. I'll give them a real press later on.
Thank you, you beautiful, darling girl.
Let's have a cigarette, shall we?
That's a good idea. Where are they?
On the stove. Do you want one, Jimmy?
No, thank you. I'm trying to listen. Do you mind?
Sorry, Your Lordship.
Do you have to make all that racket?
Oh, sorry.
It's quite a simple thing, you know, turning over a page. Anyway, that's my paper.
Don't be so mean.
Price 9p, obtainable from any newsagent. So let me hear the music, for God's sake. You're going to be much longer doing that.
Why?
Perhaps you haven't noticed it, but it's interfering with the radio.
I'm sorry, I shan't be much longer.
Oh.
What do you do that for?
I wanted to listen to the concert, that's all.
Well, what's stopping you?
Everyone's making such a din, that's what's stopping me.
Well, I'm very sorry, but I can't stop everything because you want to listen to music.
Why not?
Really, Jimmy, you're like a child.
Don't try and patronise me. She's so clumsy. I watch for her to do the same things every night. The way she jumps on the bed as if she was stamping on someone's face and draws the curtains back with a great clatter in that casually destructive way of hers. It's like someone launching a battleship. You ever noticed how noisy women are? Eh? The way they kick the floor about, simply walking over it. Or have you watched them sitting at their dressing tables, dropping their weapons and banging down their bits of boxes and brushes and lipsticks? The eternal flaming racket of the female. Oh, hell, now the bloody bells have started. Wrap it up, will you? Stop ringing those bells! There's something going crazy in here! I don't want to hear them!
Stop shouting! You'll have Miss Drury up here.
I don't give a damn about Miss Drury. That mild old gentlewoman doesn't fool me, even if she takes in you two. She's an old robber. She gets more than enough out of us for this place every week. Anyway, she's probably in church, swinging on those bloody bells.
Come on, Melvin, good boy. I'll take us all out and we'll have a drink.
They're not open yet. It's Sunday, remember? Anyway, it's raining.
Well, should we dance?
Now,
do you come here often?
Only in the mating season. All right, all right, all right, all right. Very funny. Let me go.
Not until you've apologised for being nasty to everyone. Ah. Do you think bosoms will be in or out this year?
Your teeth will be out in a minute if you don't let go.
Look how for heaven's sake. It's more like a zoo every day.
She's hurt. Are you all right?
Oh, well, does it look like it?
She's burnt her arm on the iron.
Darling, I'm sorry.
Get out.
I'm sorry. Believe me, you think I did on purpose.
Clear out of my sight.
Come and sit down. You look a bit white. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right now.
Let's have a look at your arm.
Oh.
Oh, yes, it's quite red. That's going to be painful. What should I do with it?
Oh, it's nothing much. A bit of soap on it will do. I can never remember what you do with burns.
I'll just pop down to the bathroom and get some. Are you sure you're all right?
Yes, yes.
It won't be a minute.
Oh, God.
Is this scented muck? Do you think it'll be all right?
Oh, that'll do.
Here we are, then. Let's have your arm. I've put it under the tap. It's quite soft. I'll do it ever so gently.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm.
You're a brave girl.
I don't feel very brave. I really don't, Cliff. I don't think I can take much more. Oh, I think I feel rather sick.
All over now. Would you like me to get you something?
Where is he?
In my room.
What's he doing?
Lying on the bed, reading, I think.
Oh.
That better?
Bless you.
I don't think I'd have the courage to live on my own again. In spite of everything. I'm pretty rough. I'm pretty ordinary, really. And I'd seem worse on my own. And you get fond of people too, worse luck.
I don't think I want anything more to do with love. Anymore. I can't take it on.
You're too young to start giving up. Too young and too lovely. Perhaps I'd better put a bandage on that. Do you think so?
Oh, there's some on my dressing table. I keep looking back. As far as I can remember, and I can't think what it was to feel young, really young. Jimmy said the same thing to me the other day. I pretended not to be listening because I knew that would hurt him, I suppose. And of course he got savage, like tonight, but I knew just what he meant. I suppose it would have been so easy to say, yes, darling, I know just what you mean. I know what you're feeling. It's those easy things that seem to be so impossible with us.
I'm wondering how much longer I can go on watching you two tearing the insides out of each other. It looks pretty ugly sometimes.
You wouldn't seriously think of leaving us, would you?
I suppose not.
I think I'm frightened. If I only knew what was going to happen.
Give it here. Yell out if I hurt you.
Cliff.
What is it, lovely?
Nothing.
I said, what is it?
You see, I'm pregnant.
I'll need some scissors.
They're over there.
That is something, isn't it? When did you find this out?
A few days ago. It was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, I dare say.
After 3 years of married life, I have to get caught out now.
None of us is infallible, I suppose. I must say, I'm surprised, though.
It's always been out of the question, what with this place and no money and, oh, everything. He's resented it, I know. What can you do?
You haven't told him yet.
Not yet.
What are you going to do?
I've no idea.
Oh. That too tight?
No, it's fine. Thank you.
Is it...
Too late to avert the situation. I'm not certain yet. Maybe not. If not, there won't be any problem, will there?
And if it's too late? Why don't you tell him now? After all, he does love you. You don't need me to tell you that.
Can't you see? He'll suspect my motives at once. He never stops telling himself that I know how vulnerable he is. And tonight, it might be all right. We'd make love, but later we'd both lie awake watching for the light to come through that little window and dreading it. In the morning, he'd feel hoaxed as if I were trying to kill him in the worst way of all, and he'd watch me growing bigger every day, and I wouldn't dare to look at
him. You may have to face it, lovely.
Jimmy's got his own private morality, as you know. What my mother calls loose. It is pretty free, of course. But it's very harsh, too. You know, it's funny. But we never slept together before we were married.
Certainly is, knowing him.
We knew each other such a short time. Everything moved at such a pace and we didn't have much opportunity. And afterwards he actually taunted me with my virginity. He was quite angry about it, as if I'd deceived him in some strange way. He seemed to think an untouched woman would defile him.
I've never heard you talking like this about him. He'd be quite pleased.
Yes, he would. Do you think he's right?
What about?
Oh, everything.
Well, I suppose he and I think the same about a lot of things, because we're alike in some ways. We both come from working people, if you like. Oh, I know some of his mother's relatives are pretty posh, but he hates them as much as he hates yours. Don't quite know why. Anyway, he gets on with me because I'm common. Common as dirt, that's me.
You think I should tell him about the baby?
It'll be all right. See? Tell him. Oh, there you are, you devil, you. Where have you been?
You know damn well where I've been. How's your arm?
Oh, it's all right. It wasn't much.
She's beautiful, isn't she?
You seem to think so.
Why the hell she married you, I'll never know.
You think she'd have been better off with you?
I'm not her type, am I, darling?
I'm not sure what my type is.
Why don't you both get into bed and I'm done with it?
You know, I think he really means that.
I do. I can't concentrate with you two standing there like that.
He's just an old Puritan at heart.
Perhaps I am at that. Anyway, you both look pretty silly slobbering over each other.
I think she's beautiful. And so do you, only you're too much of a pig to say so.
You're just a sexy little Welshman, you know it. Mummy and Daddy turn pale and face the east every time they remember she's married to me. If they saw all this going on, they'd collapse. You got a cigarette?
I'll have a look.
He gets more like a little mouse every day, doesn't he? He really does look like one. Look at those ears. And that face and the little short legs.
That's because he is a mouse.
Eek, eek. I'm a mouse.
A randy little mouse.
I'm a mouse. I'm a randy little mouse. That's a Maurice dance.
A what?
A Maurice dance.
That's a Morris dance, strictly for mice.
You stink. You really do.
Not
know
as bad as you, you horrible old bear. You're a stinking old bear. Do you hear me?
Get go of my foot, you whimsy little arse. You're making my stomach heave. I'm resting. Don't let go. I'll cut off your nasty great slimy tail.
I've run out of cigarettes.
Go and get some cigarettes. Stop playing a fool.
Okay.
Here's half a crown. The shop in the corner will be open.
Right you are. Don't forget.
Now get the hell out of here.
Hey, Shorty.
What do you want?
Make a nice pot of tea.
I'll kill you first.
That's my boy.
How's it feeling?
Fine. It wasn't anything.
All this fooling about can get a bit dangerous. I'm sorry.
I know.
I mean it.
There's no need.
I did it on purpose.
Yes.
There's hardly a moment when I'm not watching and wanting you. I've got to hit out somehow. Nearly 4 years of being in the same room with you night and day, and I still can't stop my sweat breaking out when I see you doing something as ordinary as leaning over an ironing board. The trouble is you get used to people. Even their trivialities become indispensable to you. Indispensable and a little mysterious. What are we going to do tonight?
What would you like to do? Drink.
I know what I want now.
Well, you'll have to wait for the proper time.
There's no such thing.
Cliff will be back in a minute.
What do you mean by don't forget?
Something I've been meaning to tell you.
You're fond of him, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
He's the only friend I seem to have left now. People go away. You never see them again. I can remember lots of names. Men and women when I was at school. Watson, Roberts, Davies, Jenny, Madeline, Hugh. And Hugh's mum, of course. I almost forgot now. She's been a good friend to us, if you like. She's even letting me buy the sweet stall off her in my own time. She only bought it for us anyway. She's so fond of you. I can never understand why you're so distant with her.
Jimmy, please, no.
You're very beautiful.
Hmm.
A beautiful, great-eyed squirrel. Hoarding, nut-munching squirrel. With highly polished, gleaming fur. And an ostrich feather of a tail.
Whee!
How I envy you.
Well, you're a jolly super bear, too. A really super marvellous bear.
Bears and squirrels are marvellous.
Marvellous and beautiful.
What the hell's that?
Well, that's a dance squirrels do when they're happy.
Oh, mm-hmm. What makes you think you're happy?
Everything just seems all right suddenly, that's all. Jimmy.
Yeah?
You know I told you I had something to tell you.
Well?
Didn't get any further than the front door. Miss Drury hadn't gone to church after all. I couldn't get away from her. Someone on the phone for you.
On the phone? Who on earth is it?
Helena something.
Helena Charles?
That's it.
Thank you, Cliff. I won't be a minute.
Oh, you will. Old Miss Drury will keep you down there forever. She doesn't think we keep this place clean enough. Thought you were going to make me some tea, you rotter. What's the matter, boyo?
That bitch.
Who?
Helena Charles.
Who is this Helena?
One of our old friends and one of my natural enemies. You're sitting on my chair.
Where are we going for a drink?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you were all for it earlier on.
What does she want? What would make her ring up? Can't be for anything pleasant. Oh, well, we shall soon know. Where's our bag? A few minutes ago, things didn't seem so bad, huh?
Wouldn't you say that was her private property?
You're quite right. But do you know something? Living night and day with another human being has made me predatory and suspicious. I know that the only way of finding out exactly what's going on is to catch them when they don't know you're looking. When she goes out, I go through everything. Why? To see if there is something of me somewhere, a reference to me. I want to know if I'm being betrayed.
You look for trouble, don't you?
Only because I'm pretty certain of finding it. Look at that. Oh, I am such a fool. This is happening every 5 minutes of the day. She gets letters. Letters from her mother. Letters in which I'm not mentioned at all because my name is a dirty word. And what does she do? She writes long letters back to Mummy and never mentions me at all because I'm just a dirty word to her too. Well, what's your friend want?
She's at the station. She's coming over.
I see. She said, can I come over? And you said, my husband Jimmy, if you'll forgive me using such a dirty word, will be delighted to see you. He'll kick your face in.
She's playing with the company at the Hippodrome this week and she's got no digs. She can't find anywhere to stay.
That I don't believe.
So I said she could come here until she fixes something else. Miss Drury's got a spare room downstairs.
Why not have her in here? Did you tell her to bring her armour? Because she's going to need it.
Oh, why don't you shut up, please?
Oh, my dear wife, you have got so much to learn. I only hope you learn it one day. If only something would happen to you and wake you out of your beauty sleep. If you could have a child and it would die. Let it grow. Let a recognisable human face emerge from that little mass of India rubber and wrinkles. Please. If only I could watch you face that. I wonder if you might even become a recognisable human being yourself, but I doubt it. You know, I have never known the great pleasure of lovemaking when I didn't desire it myself. Oh, it's not that she hasn't her own kind of passion. She has the passion of a python. She just devours me whole every time as if I were some overlarge rabbit. That's me. That bulge around her navel. If you don't know what that is, it's me. Me, buried alive down there and going mad, smothered in that peaceful-looking coil. Not a sound, not a flicker from her. She doesn't even rumble a little. You would think that this indigestible mess would stir up some kind of tremor in those distended, overfed tripes, but not her. She'll go on sleeping and devouring until there's nothing left of me.
Did you manage all right?
Of course. I've prepared most of the meals in the last week, you know.
Yes, you have. It's been wonderful having someone to help. Another woman, I mean.
I'm enjoying it. Although I don't think I shall ever get used to having to go down to the bathroom every time I want some water for something.
It's primitive, isn't it?
Yes, it is rather. Looking after one man is thrilling enough, but two is rather an undertaking.
Well, Cliff looks after himself, more or less. In fact, he helps me quite a lot.
Can't say I noticed.
You've been doing it instead, I suppose.
I see.
You've settled in so easily somehow.
Why shouldn't I?
It's not exactly what you're used to, is it?
And are you used to it?
Everything seems very different here now, with you here.
Does it?
Yes. I was on my own before.
Now you've got me. So you're not sorry you asked me to stay?
Of course not. Did you tell him his tea was ready?
I banged on the door to Cliff's room and yelled. He didn't answer, but he must have heard. I don't know where Cliff is.
I thought I'd feel cooler after a bath, but I feel hot again already. God, I wish he'd lose that damn trumpet.
I imagine that's for my benefit.
Miss Drury will ask us to go soon, I know it. Thank goodness she isn't in. Listen to him.
Does he drink?
Drink? He's not an alcoholic, if that's what you mean. Oh, he'll have the rest of the street banging on the door next.
It's almost as if he wanted to kill someone with it. And me, in particular. I've never seen such hatred in someone's eyes before. It's slightly horrifying. Horrifying and oddly exciting.
He had his own jazz band once. That was when he was still a student before I knew him. I rather think he'd like to start another and give up the stall altogether.
Is Cliff in love with you?
No. I don't think so.
And what about you? You look as though I've asked you a rather peculiar question. The way things are, you might as well be frank with me. After all, your behaviour together is a little strange, by most people's standards, to say the least.
You mean you've seen us embracing each other?
Well, it doesn't seem to go on as much as it did, I admit. Perhaps he finds my presence inhibiting, even if Jimmy's isn't.
We're simply fond of each other.
Well, there's no more to it than that.
Darling, really, it can't be as simple as that.
You mean there must be something physical too? I suppose there is. But it's not exactly a consuming passion with either of us. It's just a relaxed, cheerful sort of thing, like being warm in bed. You're too comfortable to bother about moving for the sake of some other pleasure.
I find it difficult to believe anyone's that lazy.
I think we are.
And what about Jimmy? After all, he is your husband. Do you mean to say he actually approves of it?
It isn't easy to explain. It's what he would call a question of allegiances, and he expects you to be pretty literal about them. Not only about himself and all the things he believes in, his present and his future, but his past as well. All the people he admires and loves and has loved. The friends he used to know, people I've never known and probably wouldn't have liked. His father, who died years ago. Even the other women he's loved. Do you understand?
Do you?
I've tried to. But I still can't bring myself to feel the way he does about things. I can't believe that he's right somehow.
Well, that's something anyway.
If things have worked out with Cliff, it's because he's kind and lovable and I've grown genuinely fond of him, but it's been a fluke. It's worked out because Cliff is such a nice person anyway. With Hugh, it was quite different.
Hugh?
Hugh Tanner. He and Jimmy were friends almost from childhood. Mrs. Tanner is his mother.
Oh, yes, the one who started him off in the sweet business.
That's right. Well, after Jimmy and I were married, we'd no money, about £8.10 in actual fact, and no home. Anyway, we went off to live in Hugh's flat. It was over a warehouse in Poplar.
Yes, I remember seeing the postmark on your letters.
Well, that was where I found myself on my wedding night. Hugh and I disliked each other on sight, and Jimmy knew it. Those next few months at the flat in Poplar were a nightmare. I suppose I must have been soft and squeamish and snobbish, but I felt as though I'd been dropped in a jungle. I couldn't believe that two educated people, could be so savage and so uncompromising.
Why did you...
marry him? There must be about 6 different answers. When the family came back from India, everything seemed, I don't know, unsettled. Anyway, Daddy seemed remote and rather irritable, and Mummy, well, you know Mummy. I didn't have much to worry about. I didn't know I was born, as Jimmy says. I met him at a party. I remember it so clearly. I was almost 21. The men there all looked as though they distrusted him, and as for the women, they were all intent on showing their contempt for this rather odd creature, but no one seemed quite sure how to do it. He'd come to the party on a bicycle, he told me, and there was oil all over his dinner jacket. It had been such a lovely day, and he'd been in the sun. Everything about him seemed to burn. His face, the edges of his hair glistened and seemed to spring off his head. He looked so young and frail in spite of the tired line of his mouth. I knew I was taking on more than I was ever likely to be capable of bearing, but there never seemed to be any choice. Well, the howl of outrage and astonishment went up from the family, and that did it. Whether or not he was in love with me, that did it. He made up his mind to marry me. They did just about everything they could think of to stop us.
Yes, it wasn't a very pleasant business. But you can see their point.
Well, Jimmy went into battle with his axe swinging round his head. Frail and so full of fire. I'd never seen anything like it. The story of the knight in shining armour, except that his armour didn't really shine very much. I'm so tired. I dread him coming into the room.
Why haven't you told him you're going to have a child?
I don't know.
Listen, darling, you've got to tell him. Either he learns to behave like anyone else and looks after you.
Or
you must get out of this madhouse, this menagerie. He doesn't know what love or anything else means.
You see that bear and that squirrel? Well, that's him and that's me.
Meaning?
The game we play. Bears and squirrels, squirrels and bears. Yes, it's quite mad, I know, quite mad.
I didn't realise he was a bit fey as well as everything else.
Oh, there's nothing fey about Jimmy. It's just all we seem to have left. And now, even they are dead. Poor, silly little animals. They were all love and no brains.
Listen to me. You've got to fight him. Fight or get out. Otherwise, he will kill you.
There you are, darling. Hello, Helena. Tea ready?
Yes, dear, it's all ready. Give Jimmy a call, will you?
Right. Hey, you horrible man! Stop that bloody noise and come and get your tea! Going out?
Yes.
Pictures?
No. Church.
Oh.
I see. Both of you?
Yes. Are you coming?
Well, I haven't read the papers properly yet. Tea, tea, tea. Let's have some tea, shall we? Oh, hello, boyo. Come and have your tea. That blinking trumpet. Why don't you stuff it away somewhere?
You like it, all right. Anyone who doesn't like real jazz hasn't any feeling either for music or people.
Rubbish.
That seems to prove my point for you. Did you know that Webster played the banjo?
No, does he really?
He said he'd bring it along next time he came.
Oh, no.
Why is it that nobody knows how to treat the papers in this place? Look at them! I haven't even glanced at them yet. Not the posh ones, anyway.
By the way, can I have a look at your...
No, you can't. You want anything, you pay for it, like I have to. Price
9 pence, obtainable from any bookstore. You're a mean old man, that's what you are.
What do you want to read it for, anyway? You've no intellect. No curiosity, it all just washes over you, am I right?
Right.
What are you, Welsh trash?
Nothing, that's what I am.
Nothing, are you? Blimey. You ought to be Prime Minister. You must have been talking to some of my wife's friends. They're a very intellectual set, aren't they? I've seen them. You know your trouble, son. Too anxious to please.
Thanks heaven somebody is.
You'll end up like one of those chocolate meringues my wife is so fond of. My wife, that's the one of the tom-toms behind me. Sweet and sticky on the outside, and sink your teeth in it, inside all white, messy and disgusting. Tea?
Thank you.
That's how you'll end up, my boy. Black-hearted, evil-minded and vicious.
Thank you.
And those old favourites, your friends and mine, sycophantic, phlegmatic and, of course, top of the bill, pusillanimous.
Are you going to have your tea?
It won't be long.
Thought of a title for a new song today. It's called You Can Quit Hanging Round My Counter, Mildred, because you'll find my position is closed. Good?
Oh, very good.
I thought you'd like it. If I can slip in a religious angle, it should be a big hit. Don't you think so? I was thinking you might help me there. Might help you if I recite the lyrics. Let's see now. Something like this.
Why do you try so hard to be unpleasant?
What's that?
Do you have to be so offensive?
You mean now you think I'm being offensive? You underestimate me. Doesn't she?
I think you're a very tiresome young man.
Oh dear, my wife's friends. Pass Lady Bracknell the cucumber sandwiches, will you? Are you going out?
That's right.
On a Sunday evening in this town, where on earth are you going?
I'm going out with Helena.
That's not a direction, that's an affliction. I didn't ask you what was the matter with you, I asked you where you were going.
She's going to church.
You're doing what? Have you gone out of your mind or something? You're determined to win her, aren't you? So it's come to this now. How feeble can you get? When I think of what I did, what I endured to get you out...
Oh, yes, we all know what you did for me. You rescued me from the wicked clutches of my family and all my friends, and I'd still be rotting away at home if you hadn't ridden up on your charger and carried me off.
The funny thing is, you know, I really did have to ride up on a white charger. Off-white, really. Mummy locked her up in their 8-bedroomed castle, didn't she? There is no limit to what the middle-aged mummy will do in the holy crusade against ruffians like me. Mummy and I took one quick look at each other, and from then on, the age of chivalry was dead. I knew that to protect her innocent young, she wouldn't hesitate to cheat, lie, bully and blackmail. Threatened with me, a young man without money, background or even looks, she'd bellow like a rhinoceros in labour, enough to make every male rhino for miles turn white and pledge himself to celibacy. But even I underestimated her strength. Mummy may look overfed and a bit flabby on the outside, but don't let that well-bred guzzler fool you. Underneath all that, she's armour-plated. She's as rough as a knight in a Bombay brothel and as tough as a matelot's arse. She's probably in that bloody cistern, taking down every word we say. Can you hear me, Mother?
Don't let's brawl, boyo. It won't do any good.
Why don't we brawl? It's the only thing left I'm any good at.
Jimmy boy.
You've let this genuflecting sin jobber win you over, haven't you? She's got you back, hasn't she?
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't be such a bully. You've no right to talk about her mother like that.
I've got every right. That old bitch should be dead. Well, aren't I right?
My God. Those worms will need a good dose of salts the day they get through her. Oh, what a bellyache you've got coming to you, my little wormy ones. Alison's mother is on the way. She will pass away, my friends, leaving a trail of worms gasping for laxatives behind her. From purgatives to purgatory. Is anything the matter?
I feel rather sick, that's all. Sick with contempt and loathing.
One day, when I'm no longer spending my days running a sweet stall, I may write a book about us all. It's all in here. Written in flames a mile high.
And it won't be recollected in tranquillity either, picking daffodils with Auntie Wordsworth. It'll be recollected in fire and blood. My blood.
She simply said that she's going to church with me. I don't see where that calls for this incredible outburst.
Don't you? Perhaps you're not as clever as I thought.
You think the world's treated you pretty badly, don't you?
Oh, don't try and take suffering away from him. He'd be lost without it.
I thought this play you're touring in finished up on Saturday week.
That's right.
8 days ago, in fact.
Alison wanted me to stay.
What are you plotting?
Don't you think we've had enough of the heavy villain?
You don't believe all that stuff. Well, you don't believe in anything. You're just doing it to be vindictive, aren't you? Why? Why are you letting her influence you like this?
Why? That word's pulling my head off.
And as long as I'm around, I'll go on using it. The last time she was in church was when she was married to me. I expect that surprises you, doesn't it? Well, it was expediency, pure and simple. We were in a hurry, see? Yes, we were, actually. In a hurry. Lusting for the slaughter. Well, the local registrar was a particular pal of Daddy's. I mean, he'd spill the beans to the colonel like a shot, so we had to seek out some local vicar who didn't know them quite so well, but it was no use. When my best man, the chap I'd met in the pub that morning, and I turned up, Mummy and Daddy were in the church already. They'd found out at the last moment and had come to watch the execution carried out. I remember looking down at them, full of beer for breakfast and feeling a bit buzzed. Mummy was slumped over her pew in a heap. The noble female rhino poleaxed at last, and Daddy sat beside her, upright and unafraid, dreaming of his days among the Indian princes, and unable to believe he'd left his horsewhip at home. Just the two of them in that empty church. Them and me. Not sure what happened after that. We must have been married, I suppose. I think I remember being sick in the vestry, was I?
Have you finished?
Are you going to let yourself be taken in by this saint in Dior's clothing? I will tell you the simple truth about her. She is a cow. I wouldn't mind that so much, but she seems to have become a sacred cow as well.
You've gone too far, Jimmy. Now dry up.
It's a pity you've been so far away all this time. I would probably have slapped your face. You've behaved like this ever since I first came.
Helena, have you ever watched somebody die? No, don't move away. It doesn't look dignified enough for you.
If you come any nearer, I will slap your face.
I hope you won't make the mistake of thinking for one moment that I'm a gentleman.
I'm not very likely to do that.
I've no public school scruples about hitting girls. If you slap my face, by God, I'll lay you out.
You probably would. You're the type.
You bet I'm the type. I'm the type that detests physical violence, which is why if I find some woman trying to cash in on what she thinks is my defenceless chivalry by lashing out with her frail little fists, I lash back at her.
Is that meant to be subtle or just plain Irish?
I think you and I understand one another all right. But you haven't answered my question. I said, have you watched somebody die?
No, I haven't.
Anyone who's never watched somebody die is suffering from a pretty bad case of virginity. For 12 months, I watched my father die when I was 10 years old. He'd come back from the war in Spain, you see, and certain God-fearing gentlemen there had made such a mess of him, he didn't have long left to live. Everyone knew it, even I knew it. But you see, I was the only one who cared. His family were embarrassed by the whole business, embarrassed and irritated. As for my mother, all she could think about was the fact that she had allied herself to a man who seemed to be on the wrong side of all things. My mother was all for being associated with minorities, provided they were the smart, fashionable ones. We, all of us, waited for him to die. The family sent him a cheque every month and hoped he'd get on with it, quietly, without too much vulgar fuss. My mother looked after him without complaining. And that was about all. Perhaps she pitied him, I suppose she was capable of that. But I was the only one who cared. Every time I sat on the edge of his bed to listen to him talking or reading to me, I had to fight back my tears. At the end of 12 months, I was a veteran. All that feverish failure of a man had to listen to him was a small, frightened boy. You see, I learnt at an early age what it was to be angry. Angry and helpless, and I can never forget it. I knew more about love, betrayal, and death when I was 10 years old than you will probably ever know all your life.
time we went. I'll just get my things together. I'll see you downstairs.
Doesn't it matter to you what people do to me? What are you trying to do to me? I've given you just everything. Doesn't it mean anything to you? Judas, you phlegm. She's taking you with her, and you are so bloody feeble you will let her do it.
All I want is a little peace.
Peace? God, she wants peace. My heart is so full, I feel ill, and she wants peace. I rage and I shout my head off, and everyone thinks, poor chap, or what an objectionable young man, but that girl there can twist your arm off with her silence. I've sat in this chair in the dark for hours, and although she knows I'm feeling as I feel now, she has turned over and gone to sleep. I wish to heavens you'd try loving her, Cliff, that's all. Perhaps one day you may want to come back. I shall wait for that day. I want to stand up in your tears and splash about in them and sing. I want to be there when you grovel. I want to be there. I want to watch it. I want the front seat. I want to see your face rubbed in the mud. That's all I can hope for. There's nothing else I want any longer.
There's a phone call for you.
Well, can't be anything good, can it?
All ready?
Yes. I think so.
You feel all right, don't you? What's he been raving about now? Oh, what does it matter? He makes me want to claw his hair out by the roots when I think of what you'll be going through in a few months' time. And all for him. It's as if you'd done him wrong, these men. And all the time you just sit there and do nothing.
Oh, that's right. I just sit here.
What's the matter with you? What sort of a man are you?
I'm not the district commissioner, you know. Listen, Helena, I don't feel like Jimmy does about you, but I'm not exactly on your side either. And since you've been here, everything's certainly been worse than it's ever been. This has always been a battlefield. But I'm pretty certain that if I hadn't been here, everything would have been over between these two long ago. I've been a no-man's land between them. Sometimes it's been still and peaceful, no incidents, and we've all been reasonably happy, but most of the time, it's simply a very narrow strip of plain hell. But where I come from, we're used to brawling and excitement. Perhaps I even enjoy being in the thick of it. I love these two people very much. And I pity all of us.
Are you including me in that? I don't understand him, you, or any of it. All I know is that none of you seem to know how to behave in a decent, civilised way. Listen, Alison, I've sent your father a wire.
Oh?
Look, dear, he'll get it first thing in the morning. I thought it would be better than trying to explain the situation over the phone. I asked him to come up and fetch you home tomorrow.
What did you say?
Simply that you wanted to come home and would he come for you?
I see.
I knew that would be quite enough. I told him there was nothing to worry about, so they won't worry and think there's been an accident or anything. I had to do something, dear. You didn't mind, did you?
No. I don't mind. Thank you.
And you will go when he comes for you?
Yes, I'll go.
I expect he'll drive up. He should be here about tea time. It'll give you plenty of time to get your things together. And perhaps after you've gone, Jimmy will come to his senses and face up to things.
Who was on the phone?
I didn't catch it properly. It rang after I'd sent the wire off, just as soon as I put the receiver down almost. I had to go back down the stairs again. Sister somebody, I think.
Must have been a hospital or something. Unless he knows someone in a convent, and that doesn't seem very likely, does it? Well, we'll be late if we don't hurry.
All right, Boyle?
It's Hugh's mum. She's had a stroke.
I'm sorry.
How bad is it?
They didn't say much, but I think she's dying.
Oh, dear.
Doesn't make any sense at all. Do you think it does?
I'm sorry, I really am.
Anything I can do?
The London train goes in half an hour. You better order me a taxi.
Right. Do you want me to come with you, boy?
No, thanks. After all, you hardly knew her. It's not for you to go. She may not even remember me, for all I know.
I remember the first time I showed her your photograph, just after we were married. She looked at it and the tears just welled up in her eyes. She said, she's so beautiful, she's so beautiful. She kept repeating it, as if she couldn't believe it. Sounds a bit simple and sentimental when you repeat it, but it was pure gold, the way she said it. She got a kick out of you, like she did out of everything else. Hand me my shoes, will you? You're coming with me, aren't you? She hasn't got anyone else now. I need you to come with me.
Let's go, Helena.
It's all beyond me. I suppose it always will be. As for Jimmy, he just speaks a different language from any of us. Where did you say he'd gone?
He's gone to see Mrs. Tanner.
Who?
Hugh Tanner's mother.
Oh, I see.
She's been taken ill. A stroke. Hugh's abroad, as you know, so Jimmy's gone to London to see her. He wanted me to go with him.
Didn't she start him off in this sweet stall business?
Yes.
What's she like? Nothing like her son, I trust.
Not remotely. Oh, how can I describe her? Rather ordinary. What Jimmy insists on calling working class. A charwoman who married an actor. Worked hard all her life and spent most of it struggling to support her husband and her son. Jimmy and she are very fond of each other.
So you didn't go with him?
No.
Who's looking after the sweet store?
Cliff. He should be in soon.
Oh, yes, of course, Cliff. Does he live here too?
Yes. His room's just across the landing.
Sweet stall. It does seem an extraordinary thing for an educated young man to be occupying himself with. Why should he want to do that, of all things? I've always thought he must be quite clever in his way.
Oh, he's tried so many things. Journalism, advertising, even vacuum cleaners for a few weeks. He seemed to have been as happy doing this as anything else.
I've often wondered what it was like. Where you were living, I mean. You didn't tell us very much in your letters.
There wasn't a great deal to tell you. There's not much social life here.
Oh, I know what you mean. You were afraid of being disloyal to your husband.
Disloyal? He thought it was high treason of me to write to you at all. I used to have to dodge downstairs with the post so that he wouldn't see I was getting letters from home, and even then I had to hide them.
He really hates us, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, don't have any doubts about that. He hates all of us.
It seems a great pity. It was all so unfortunate. Unfortunate and unnecessary. I'm afraid I can't help feeling that he must have had a certain amount of right on his side.
Right on his side?
It's a little late to admit it, but I know. Your mother and I weren't entirely free from blame. I've never said anything, there's no point afterwards, but I've always believed that she went too far over Jimmy. Of course, she was extremely upset at the time, we both were, and that explains a good deal of what happened. I did my best to stop her, but she was in such a state of mind there was simply nothing I could do. She seemed to have made up her mind that if he was going to marry you, he must be a criminal at the very least. All those inquiries, the private detectives, the accusations. I hated every moment of it.
I suppose she was trying to protect me in a rather heavy-handed way, admittedly.
I must confess I find that kind of thing rather horrifying. Anyway, I try to think now that it never happened. I didn't approve of Jimmy at all, and I don't suppose I ever should, but looking back on it, I think it would have been better for all concerned if we had never attempted to interfere. At least it would have been a little more dignified.
It wasn't your fault.
I don't know. We were all to blame, in our different ways. No doubt Jimmy acted in good faith. He's honest enough, whatever else he may be. And your mother, in her heavy-handed way, as you put it, acted in good faith as well. Perhaps you and I were the ones most to blame.
You and I?
I think you may take after me a little, my dear. You like to sit on the fence because it's comfortable and more peaceful.
Sitting on the fence? I married him, didn't I?
Oh, yes. You did.
In spite of all the humiliating scenes and the threats? What did you say to me at the time? Wasn't I letting you down? Turning against you? How could I do this to you, etc.?
Perhaps it might have been better if you hadn't written letters to us, knowing how we felt about your husband and after everything that had happened. Forgive me. I'm a little confused, what with everything, the telegram. Driving up here suddenly.
Do you know what he said about Mummy? He said she was an overfed, overprivileged old bitch. A good blowout for the worms was his expression, I think.
I see. And what does he say about me?
Oh, he doesn't seem to mind you so much. In fact, I think he rather likes you. He likes you because he can feel sorry for you. Poor old Daddy. Just one of those sturdy old plants left over from the Edwardian wilderness that can't understand why the sun isn't shining anymore. Something like that, anyway.
He has quite a turn of phrase, hasn't he? Why did you ever have to meet that young man?
Oh, Daddy, please don't put me on trial now. I've been on trial every day and night of my life for nearly 4 years.
But why should he have married you, feeling as he did about everything?
That is the famous American question, you know, the $64 one. Perhaps it was revenge. Oh, yes, some people do actually marry for revenge, people like Jimmy, anyway. Perhaps only another woman could understand what a challenge like that means. Although I think Helena was as mystified as you are.
I am mystified. Your husband has obviously taught you a great deal, whether you realise it or not. I always believed that people married each other because they were in love. That always seemed a good enough reason to me. But apparently that's too simple for young people nowadays. They have to talk about challenges and revenge. I just can't believe that love between men and women is really like that.
Only some men and women.
But why you? My daughter. No, perhaps Jimmy is right. Perhaps I am. What was it? An old plant left over from the Edwardian wilderness. And I can't understand why the sun isn't shining anymore. You can see what he means, can't you? The England I remembered was the one I left in 1914, and I was happy to go on remembering it that way. Besides, I had the Maharaja's army to command. That was my world. And I loved it, all of it. At the time, it looked like going on forever. When I think of it now, it seems like a dream. If only it could have gone on forever. Those long, cool evenings up in the hills, everything purple and golden. Your mother and I were so happy then. It seemed as though we had everything we could ever want. I think the last day the sun shone was when that dirty little train steamed out of that crowded, suffocating Indian station and the battalion band playing for all it was worth. I knew in my heart it was all over then. Everything.
You're hurt because everything has changed. Jimmy is hurt because everything's the same. Neither of you can face it. Something's gone wrong somewhere, hasn't it?
It looks like it, my dear. Oh, this is a big step you're taking. You've made up your mind to come back with me. Is that really what you want?
I'm sorry. I came in to see if I could help you pack, Alison. Oh, you look as though you've finished.
All ready.
Have you got everything?
Well, no, but Cliff can send the rest on sometime, I expect. He should have been back by now. Oh, of course, he's had to put the stall away on his own today.
Well, I'd better put this on the card, then. We may as well get along. Your mother will be worried, I know. I promised I'd bring her when I got here. She's not very well.
I hope my telegram didn't upset her too much. Perhaps I shouldn't have...
Not at all. We're very grateful that you did. It was very kind of you indeed. She tried insisting on coming with me, but I finally managed to talk her out of it. I thought it would be best for everyone. Now, what about your case, Helena? If you care to tell me where it is, I'll take it down with this one.
I'm afraid I shan't be coming tonight.
Aren't you coming with us?
I'd like to, but the fact is I have an appointment tomorrow in Birmingham about a job. They've just sent me a script. It's rather important and I don't want to miss it. So it looks as though I shall have to stay here tonight.
Oh, I see. Hello, Cliff.
Hello there.
Daddy, this is Cliff.
Oh, how do you do, Cliff?
How do you do, sir?
Well, then. Goodbye, Cliff.
Goodbye, sir. You were really going, then?
Really going.
I should think Jimmy would be back pretty soon. You won't wait?
No, Cliff.
Well, who's going to tell him?
I can tell him. That is, if I'm here when he comes back.
He'll be here. Don't you think you ought to tell him yourself?
Give him this.
A bit conventional, isn't it?
I'm a conventional girl.
I hope you were right, Helena, that's all.
What do you mean? You hope I'm right?
The place is going to be really cockeyed now, you know that, don't you?
Please, Cliff. I'll write you later.
Goodbye, lovely.
Look after him.
We'll keep the old nut house going somehow.
See you soon.
Would you like me to make you some tea?
No, thanks.
I think I might have some myself, if you don't mind.
So you're staying?
just for tonight. Do you object?
Nothing to do with me. Of course, he may not be back until later on.
What do you think he'll do? Perhaps he'll look out one of his old girlfriends. What about this Madeline?
What about her?
Isn't she supposed to have done a lot for him? Couldn't he go back to her?
I shouldn't think so.
What happened?
She was nearly old enough to be his mother. I expect that's something to do with it. Why the hell should I know?
You're his friend, aren't you? Anyway, he's not what you'd call reticent about himself, is he? I've never seen so many souls stripped to the waist since I've been here. Aren't you staying?
No, I'm not. There was a train in from London about 5 minutes ago, and just in case he may have been on it, I'm going out.
Don't you think you ought to be here when he comes?
I've had a hard day, and I don't think I want to see anyone hurt until I've had something to eat first, and perhaps a few drinks as well. I think I might pick up a nice, pleasant little tart in a milk bar and sneak her in past old Mother Drury here. Here, you give it to him. He's all yours. And I hope he rams it up your nostrils.
That old bastard nearly ran me down in his car. Now, if he'd killed me, that really would have been ironical. And how right and fitting that my wife should have been a passenger. Oh, passenger. What's the matter with everybody? Cliff practically walked in to be coming out of the house. He belted up the other way, pretending not to see me. Are you the only one who's not afraid to stay?
Here.
Oh. It's one of these, is it? Did you write this for her? Well, listen to this then. My dear, I must get away. I don't suppose you will understand, but please try. I need peace so desperately, and at the moment I am willing to sacrifice everything just for that. I don't know what's going to happen to us. I know you will be feeling wretched and bitter, but try to be a little patient with me. I shall always have a deep, loving need of you, Alison. Oh, how could you be so bloody wet? Deep, loving need. Oh, makes me puke. She couldn't say, you rotten bastard, I hate your guts, I'm clearing out and I hope you rot. No, she had to make a polite, emotional mess out of it. Deep, loving need. I never thought she was capable of being as phony as that. What is that? A line from one of those plays you've been in? What are you doing here anyway? You better keep out of my way if you don't want your head kicked in.
If you'll stop thinking about yourself for one moment, I'll tell you something I think you ought to know. Your wife is going to have a baby. Well, doesn't that mean anything? Even to you?
All right, yes, I'm surprised. I'll give you that. But tell me, did you honestly expect me to go soggy at the knees and collapse with remorse? Listen, if you'll stop breathing your female wisdom all over me, I'll tell you something. I don't care. I don't care if she's going to have a baby. I don't care if it has two heads. Or do I disgust you? Well, go on. Slap my face. But remember what I told you before, will you? For 11 hours, I have been watching someone I love very much going through the sordid process of dying. She was all alone, and I was the only one with her. And when I have to walk behind that coffin on Thursday, I'll be on my own again, because that bitch won't even send her a bunch of flowers. I know. She made the great mistake of all her kind. She thought that because Hugh's mother was a deprived and ignorant old woman who said all the wrong things in all the wrong places, she couldn't be taken seriously. And you think I should be overcome with awe because that cruel, stupid girl is going to have a baby? I can't believe it. I can't. Well, the performance is over. Now leave me alone and get out, you evil-minded little virgin. Ah!
Stinking old pipe.
Shut up.
Why don't you do something with it?
Why do I spend half of Sunday reading the papers?
It stinks.
Don't you? But I'm not singing an aria about it. The dirty ones get more and more wet around the mouth, and the posh ones are more pompous than ever. Does this bother you, Helena?
No, I quite like it.
There you are, she likes it. Have you read about the grotesque and evil practices going on in the Midlands?
Reading about the what?
Grotesque and evil practices going on in the Midlands.
No, what about them?
Seems you don't know the old place. It's all in here. Startling revelations this week. Pictures, too. Reconstructions of midnight invocations to the Coptic goddess of fertility.
Oh, sounds madly depraved.
Yes, rather us, isn't it? My gosh, look at them. Snarling themselves silly. Next week, a well-known debutante relates how, during an evil orgy in Market Harborough, she killed and drank the blood of a white cockerel. Well, bet Fortnum's must be doing a roaring line in sacrificial cocks. You never dabbled in this kind of thing, did you?
Not lately.
It sounds rather your cup of tea. Cup of blood, I should say. You'll make an admirable sacrifice.
Dry up, I'm trying to read.
Afterwards, we can make a loving cup from his blood. Well, I can't say I fancy that much. I've seen it. It looks like cochineals, ever so common. Yours would be much better. Pale Cambridge blue, I imagine, no? And afterwards, we could make invocations to the Coptic goddess of fertility. Got any idea how to do that? Cliff, do you know?
Shouldn't have thought you needed to make invocations to the Coptic, whatever she is.
Yes, I see what you mean. Oh, yes, and then there's an American professor from Yale or somewhere who believes that when Shakespeare was writing The Tempest, he changed his sex. Yes, he was obliged to go back to Stratford because the other actors couldn't take him seriously any longer. Is anything the matter?
No, nothing. I'm only beginning to get used to him. I never used to be sure when he was being serious or when he wasn't.
I don't think he knows himself half the time. When in doubt, just mark it down as an insult.
Hurry up with that paper and shut up. What are we going to do tonight? There isn't even a decent concert on. You going to church?
No, I don't think so. Unless you want to.
Do I detect a growing satanic glint in her eyes lately? Think it's living in sin with me that does it? Do you feel very sinful, my dear? Do you feel sin crawling out of your ears like stored up wax or something? Are you wondering whether I'm joking or not? Perhaps I ought to wear a red nose and a funny hat. I'm just curious, that's all.
Can we have one day, just one day, without tumbling over religion or politics?
Yeah, change the record, old boy, or pipe down.
Thought of the title for a new song today. It's called My Mother's in the Madhouse, That's Why I'm in Love with You. The lyrics are catchy too. I was thinking we might work it into the act.
Good idea.
Now there's a certain little lady, and you all know who I mean. She may have been to Rhodey, but to me she's still a queen. Ah, you damn great feet.
You're a savage.
A hooligan, you really are.
My shirt, get off.
What do you want to wear a shirt for? Tough character like you. Now go and make me some tea.
It's the only clean one I've got. Oh, you big off.
Look, it's filthy.
Yes, it is. He's stronger than he looks. If you'd like to take it off now, I'll wash it through for you. It'll be dry by the time we want to go out. What's the matter, Cliff?
Oh, it'll be all right.
Give it to her and quit moaning.
Oh, all right. Thanks, Helena.
Right. I won't be a minute with it.
You look like Marlon Brando or something. You don't care for Helena, do you?
You didn't seem very keen yourself once. It's not the same, is it?
No, of course it's not the same, you idiot. Never is. Today's meal is always different from yesterday's, and the last woman isn't the same as the one before. If you can't accept that, you're going to be pretty unhappy, my boy.
Jimmy, I don't think I shall stay here much longer.
Well, why not?
Oh, I don't know. I've just thought of trying somewhere different. The sweet stall's all right, but I think I'd like to try something else. You were highly educated and it suits you, but I need something a bit better.
Just as you like, my dear boy. It's your business, not mine.
And another thing. I think Helena finds it rather a lot of work to do with two chaps about the place. It won't be so much for her if there's just the two of you. Anyway, I think I ought to find some girl who'll just look after me.
Sounds like a good idea. Can't think who'd be stupid enough to team themselves up with you, though. Perhaps Helena can think of somebody for you. One of her posh girlfriends with lots of money and no brains. That's what you want.
Something like that.
Shouldn't think you'll last 5 minutes without me to explain the score to you.
Don't suppose so.
Such a scruffy little beast. I'll bet some respectable little madam from Pinner or Guildford gobbles you up in 6 months. She'll marry you, send you out to work, and you'll end up as clean as a new pin.
Yeah, I'm stupid enough for that too.
Seem to spend my life saying goodbye. It's a funny thing. You've been loyal, generous and a good friend, but I'm quite prepared to see you wander off, find a new home and make out on your own. And all because of something I want from that girl downstairs, something I know in my heart she's incapable of giving. You're worth half a dozen Helenas to me or to anyone. And if you were in my place, you'd do the same thing, right?
Right.
Why do we let these women bleed us to death? You ever had a letter and on it is franked, please give your blood generously? Well, the Postmaster General does that on behalf of all the women of the world. I suppose people of our generation aren't able to die for good causes any longer. We had all that done for us in the 30s and the 40s when we were still kids. There aren't any good, brave causes left. If the Big Bang does come and we all get killed off, it won't be in aid of the old-fashioned grand design. It'll just be for the brave, new, nothing very much, thank you, about as pointless and inglorious as stepping in front of a bus. Nah, there's nothing left for it, my boy. But to let yourself be butchered by the women.
Here you are, Cliff.
Oh, thanks, Helena, very much. That's decent of you.
Not at all. I should dry it over the gas. The fire in your room would be better. There won't be much room for it over the stove.
Right, I will.
Hurry up about it, stupid. We'll all go out and have a drink soon. Okay.
Okay.
But make me some tea first, you madcap little Charlie. Darling, I'm sick of seeing you behind that damned ironing board.
Sorry.
Get yourself glammed up and we'll hit the town.
Is anything wrong?
Oh, don't frown like that. You look like the presiding magistrate.
How should I look?
As if your heart stirred a little when you looked at me.
Oh, it does that all right.
Cliff tells me he's leaving us.
I know. He told me last night.
Did he? Well, they all seem to be at the end of the queue when they're passing information out.
I'm sorry he's going.
Yes, so am I. He's a sloppy, irritating bastard, but he's got a big heart. You can forgive somebody almost anything for that. Come here.
I love you.
I think perhaps you do. Hmm. Yes, I think perhaps you do. Don't let anything go wrong.
Oh, my darling.
Either you're with me or against me.
I've always wanted you, always.
If you'll help me, I'll close that damn sweet store and we'll start everything from scratch. What do you say? Get away from this place.
I say that's wonderful.
Put all that junk away and we'll get out. We'll get pleasantly, joyfully tiddly. We'll gaze at each other tenderly and lecherously in the builder's arms and then we'll come back here and I will make such love to you you will not care about anything else at all.
I'll just change out of your old shirt.
I'll hurry up the little man.
Alison.
Hello.
Friend of yours to see you.
Still smokes this foul old stuff. I used to hate it at first, but you get used to it.
Yes.
I went to the pictures last week and some old man was smoking it in front a few rows away. I actually got up and sat right behind him.
Here. Have this. It usually seems to help.
Thanks.
Are you sure you feel all right now?
It was just... oh, everything. It's my own fault entirely. I must be mad coming here like this. I'm sorry, Helena.
Why should you be sorry? You, of all people.
Because it was unfair and cruel of me to come back. I'm afraid a sense of timing is one of the things I seem to have learnt from Jimmy. But it's something that can be in very bad taste. Oh, why am I here? You must all wish me 1,000 miles away.
I don't wish anything of the kind. You've more right to be here than I.
Oh, Helena, don't bring out the book of rules.
You are his wife, aren't you? Whatever I have done, I've never been able to forget that fact. You have all the rights.
Helena, even I gave up believing in the divine rights of marriage long ago, even before I met Jimmy. They've got something different now. Constitutional monarchy. You are where you are by consent. And if you start trying any strong-arm stuff, you're out. And I'm out.
Is that something you learnt from him?
Don't make me feel like a blackmailer or something, please. I've done something foolish and rather vulgar in coming here tonight. I regret it. And I detest myself for doing it. But I did not come here in order to gain anything. Whatever it was, hysteria or just macabre curiosity, I'd certainly no intention of making any kind of breach between you and Jimmy. You must believe that.
Oh,
I believe it, all right. That's why everything seems more wrong and terrible than ever. You didn't even reproach me. You should have been outraged, but you weren't. I feel so ashamed.
You talk as though he was something you'd swindled me out of.
And you talk as if he were a book or something you pass around to anyone who happens to want it for 5 minutes. What's the matter with you? You sound as though you were quoting him all the time. I thought you told me once you couldn't bring yourself to believe in him.
I don't think I ever believed in your way either.
At least I still believe in right and wrong. Not even the months in this madhouse have stopped me doing that. Even though everything I have done is wrong. At least I have known it was wrong.
You loved him, didn't you? That's what you wrote and told me.
And it was true.
It was pretty difficult to believe it at the time. I couldn't understand it.
I could hardly believe it myself.
Afterwards, it wasn't quite so difficult. You used to say some pretty harsh things about him. Not that I was sorry to hear them. They were rather comforting then. But you even shocked me sometimes.
I suppose I was a little over-emphatic. Oh, there doesn't seem much point in trying to explain everything, does there?
Not really.
Do you know, I have discovered what is wrong with Jimmy. It's very simple, really. He was born out of his time.
Yes, I know.
There's no place for people like that any longer. In sex or politics or anything. That's why he's so futile. Sometimes, when I listen to him, I feel he thinks he's still in the middle of the French Revolution. And that's where he ought to be, of course. He doesn't know where he is or where he's going. He'll never do anything, and he'll never amount to anything.
I suppose he's what you'd call an eminent Victorian. Slightly comic in a way. We seem to have had this conversation before.
Yes. Alison, it's all over between Jimmy and me. I can see it now. I've got to get out.
What?
No, listen to me. When I saw you standing there tonight, I knew that it was all utterly wrong. That I didn't believe in any of this. And not Jimmy or anyone could make me believe otherwise. How could I ever have thought I could get away with it? He wants one world and I want another, and lying in that bed won't ever change it. I believe in good and evil, and I don't have to apologise for that. It's quite a modern scientific belief now, so they tell me. And by everything I have ever believed in or wanted, what I have been doing is wrong and evil.
Helena, you're not going to leave him.
Yes, I am. Oh, I'm not stepping aside to let you come back. You can do what you like. Frankly, I think you'd be a fool, but that's your own business. I think I've given you enough advice.
But he'll have no one.
Oh, my dear. He'll find somebody. He'll probably hold court here like one of the Renaissance popes. Oh, I know I'm throwing the book of rules at you, as you call it, but believe me, you're never going to be happy without it. I tried throwing it away all these months, but I know now it just doesn't work. When you came in at that door, ill and tired and hurt, it was all over for me. You see, I didn't know about the baby. It was such a shock. It's like a judgment on us.
You saw me. And I had to tell you what had happened. I lost the child. It's a simple fact. There is no judgment. There's no blame.
Maybe not. But I feel it just the same.
But don't you see? It isn't logical.
No, it isn't. But I know it's right.
Helena, you mustn't leave him. He needs you. I know he needs you.
Do you think so?
Maybe you're not the right one for him. We neither of us are right.
Why does he stop that damn noise?
He wants something quite different from us. What it is exactly, I don't know. A kind of cross between a mother and a Greek courtesan, a henchwoman. A mixture of Cleopatra and Boswell. But give him a little longer.
Please, will you stop that? I can't think. Jimmy, for God's sake. Jimmy, I want to speak to you.
Is your friend still with you?
Oh, don't be such an idiot and come in here.
He doesn't want to see me.
Stay where you are and don't be silly. I'm sorry, it won't be very pleasant. But I've made up my mind to go and I've got to tell him now.
Is this another of your dark plots? Hadn't she better sit down? She looks a bit ghastly.
I'm so sorry, dear. Would you like some more tea or an aspirin or something?
No, thank you.
It's not very surprising, is it? She's been very ill.
You don't have to draw a diagram for me. I can't see what's happened to her.
And doesn't it mean anything to you?
I don't exactly relish the idea of anyone being ill or in pain. It was my child too, you know. It isn't my first loss.
It was mine.
What are you looking so solemn about? What's she doing here?
I'm sorry, I... Don't, please. Can't you see the condition she's in? She's done nothing. She's said nothing. None of it's her fault.
What isn't her fault?
Jimmy, I don't want to brawl.
Let's hear it, shall we?
Very well. I'm going downstairs to pack my things. If I hurry, I shall just catch the 7:15 to London. This is not Alison's doing. You must understand that. It's my own decision entirely. In fact, she's just been trying to talk me out of it. It's just that suddenly, tonight, I see what I have really known all along. That you can't be happy when what you're doing is wrong or is hurting someone else. I suppose it could never have worked anyway. But I do love you, Jimmy. I shall never love anyone as I have loved you. But I can't go on. I can't take part in all this suffering. I can't. You probably won't feel up to making that journey again tonight, but we can fix you up at an hotel before I go. It's about half an hour. I'll just make it...
They all want to escape from the pain of being alive. Most of all from love. I always knew something like this would turn up. Some problem, like an ill wife, and it would be too much for those delicate hothouse feelings of yours. It's no good trying to fool yourself about love. You can't fall into it like a soft job without dirtying up your hands. It takes muscle and guts, and if you can't bear the thought of messing up your nice clean soul, you better give up the whole idea of life and become a saint, because you'll never make it as a human being. It's either this world or the next.
Goodbye.
Oh, those bells.
I'm sorry, I'll go now.
You never even sent any flowers to the funeral. Not a little bunch of flowers. You had to deny me that too, didn't you? The injustice of it's almost perfect. The wrong people going hungry, the wrong people being loved, the wrong people dying. Do you remember that first night I saw you at that grisly party? You didn't really notice me, but I was watching you all evening. You seemed to have a wonderful relaxation of spirit. I knew that was what I wanted. You've got to be really brawny to have that kind of strength, the strength to relax. It was only after we were married that I discovered it wasn't relaxation at all. In order to relax, you have first got to sweat your guts out. And as far as you were concerned, you'd never had a hair out of place or a bead of sweat anywhere.
No.
I may be a lost cause, but I thought, if you love me, it needn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I was wrong. I don't want to be neutral. I don't want to be a saint. I want to be a lost cause. I want to be corrupt and futile. Don't you understand? It's gone. It's gone. That helpless human being inside my body, I thought it was so safe and secure in there and nothing could take it from me. It was mine and my responsibility, but it's lost. And all I wanted was to die. I never knew what it was like. I didn't know it could be like that. I was in pain, and all I could think of was you and what I'd lose. I thought, if only he could see me now. So stupid and ugly and ridiculous, and this is what he's been longing for me to feel. This is what he wants to splash about in. I'm in the fire and I'm burning, and all I want is to die. This cost him his child and any others I might have had. But what does it matter? This is what he wanted from me. Don't you see? I'm in the mud at last. I'm grovelling. I'm crawling. Oh, God.
No. Please don't. You're all right.
No.
Please.
Not anymore. Be together in our bear's cave.
No.
Our squirrels dray, and we'll live on honey and nuts. Lots and lots of nuts, and we'll sing songs about ourselves. About warm trees and snug caves, and lying in the sun. And you'll keep those big eyes on my fur. And help me keep my claws in order. Because I'm a bit of a soppy, scruffy sort of a bear. And I'll see that you keep that sleek, bushy tail glistening as it should, because you are a very beautiful squirrel. But you're none too bright either, so we've got to be careful. There are cruel steel traps lying about everywhere, just waiting for rather mad, slightly satanic and very timid little animals, right? Poor squirrels.
Poor bears. Oh, poor, poor bears.
In Look Back in Anger by John Osborne, Jimmy was played by David Tennant, Alison, Nancy Carroll, Cliff, Daniel Evans, Helena, Claire Price, and the Colonel, Ian McKellen. The play was directed by Richard Wilson and produced by Clive Brill. It was a Brill production for BBC Radio 4.